take a look at some scripture today, and I want to start out by asking you a question. What do you need the most right now? What do you need the most right now? It's an interesting question, isn't it? And more than likely, it would bring many, many answers if I were to ask you, every one of you individually, what do you need the most right now? We need a few things around the house. You might be able to say the same thing. I could use a few things around the house. Some of us might say, I need some time off. I need a break. Or I need my family to take a break so I can have the house to myself. Right? So you family, you take a break. I'll stay here. Quiet. Right. Anybody relate to that? Some of us might respond with a relational need that we need the most, or an emotional need, and not necessarily a material need. Some of you might say, I need a friend to talk to me, to and listen to me. I need my spouse to be warmer or kinder to me. I need to figure out a way to get along with my siblings. I need someone to forgive me. That's what I really need the most right now. I need peace. I need some joy. I need some energy. I need moral strength. I'm facing a tough decision. Maybe I need wisdom. What do you need the most right now? Maybe you would say it's a raise. I need a raise. Or a rise, right? I need a car. I need a girlfriend. All of these things that we might answer are legitimate needs, aren't they? But all of them also, they can weigh pretty heavy on our hearts and our minds. But I want to say this morning that the thing that we all need the most is the assurance of God's presence with us. That's what we need the most. We need God to be with us, don't we? We need Him to live with us. We need God to go with us. We need the presence of God. That's what we need the most. And Moses understood this. Moses found himself in a place where he knew the thing that he needed the most. He knew that the thing that Israel, the people he was called to lead, he knew that what they needed the most was the presence of God. That without God's presence, life going forward was pointless. Life going forward without the presence of God is meaningless. We need the presence of God. And this is our theme this morning. This is what we're going to be talking about, our desperate need for God's presence at every turn of our lives. And so I'm going to invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 33, and we're going to read that chapter. Yes, we're going to read the whole chapter, as is our custom, seems like. And then I'm going to pray, and we'll see what God has for us. Exodus 33. Still rustling? Those pages are thin, aren't they? Yeah. Verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. And I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all the Ites. All right. You go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you're a stiff-necked people. It's the ancient way of saying you're stubborn, right? And if I were to go with you even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, I will decide what to do with you. So Israel stripped off their ornaments out at Mount Horeb. And Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. And anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. And as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance of the tent while the Lord spoke with Moses. And whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and they worshiped each at the entrance to their tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. And Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send in with me. And you said, I know you by name, and you found favor with me. And if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, God, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord replied to Moses and said, my presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. And Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I'll cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. And the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft in that rock, and I'll cover you with my hand until I have passed by, and then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. And we'll stop there. Now, fascinating chapter. In this point in the narrative, Moses has led the people of Israel out of the Egyptian slavery that they were in and out of bondage that they were in. And they're making their way under God's direction to this land called Canaan. You heard of it? It was first promised to Abraham. And God has given the people of Israel, he's given them this mission and this promise of conquest of all the ites in the land. Of course, the ultimate goal is to experience peace and rest in a land that they could call their own. And all of this peace and all of this rest will be realized in the land of Canaan. Exodus 32, we find Moses taking this pilgrimage up the mountain. You might remember that, right? And he goes up to the mountain to meet with God and to get God's instructions for the people. We know that as the Ten Commandments. And he's up there for a really long time. At 40 days, he's up there on this mountain with God. Now, as he's coming down the mountain, he hears first, and then he eventually sees all of the people of Israel engaged in one gigantic drunken party. Now, that wouldn't be so bad, but they're dancing around a cow and calling it God. Needless to say, God was offended, grossly offended. It was abhorring to him what they were doing. He's not happy, and basically he says, the promised land is still promised. The battles with your enemies will still take place. He says, but I will not go with you. I won't go with you. You've sinned, and your sin and my presence can't coexist. But gracious God that I am, I'll have one of my angels go before you, and he will lead you as you go further in conquests and finally realize your place of peace and rest in the land of Canaan. In fact, we already read it, didn't we? We read in Exodus 33 that he says, you guys are, what a terrible phrase, you're a stiff-necked people. And if I were to go with you for even a moment, he says, I might destroy you. Well, I think he probably would, right? Even, you know, I might destroy you. And then I think that was, you know, God being politically correct, right? If I were to go for you a moment, it's all over for you guys. It's toast, right? And I'm going to destroy you guys. And so here we have this scene, right, in Exodus 33 that we just read together. But I want to talk about something. Did you know that the nearness of God's presence is the grand theme of the Bible? The nearness of God's presence. It's the entire theme of the Bible, the grand theme of the Bible. And we see it surface, don't we, really early on in Genesis with the first humans, Adam and Eve. You know, it says in Genesis that the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord, right, among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to the man and says, where are you? Like God didn't know, right? Yeah. And and Adam says, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And here we are, you know, we're in the bushes hiding. And God said, who told you that you're naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now, God already knew. He wanted them to confess. And we can infer from this that God walked daily in the garden where he put Adam and Eve, and they were able to enjoy this beautiful time with God in his presence. God was present with them, the first humans, with them. But we know the rest of the story, don't we? They chose to trust the devil instead of God, and they disobeyed the command of God. They sinned, and that sin resulted in them being separated from God, not only relationally, spiritually, but also physically, as they were put outside of the garden, physically. And so there's this break. There's this big fissure. The nearness of God isn't there anymore. The presence of God. And the whole rest of the Bible is the account of God's plan to deal with humanity's sin so that they can once again enjoy fellowship with God in his presence. This is the whole of the Bible. If you had to summarize the Bible, that would be it. Humanity enjoyed God's presence. Humanity screwed it up and lost God's presence. God does all he can, because humanity can't do anything. God does all he can to restore the nearness of his presence with people. Now, we can look at Exodus, and as we move through the Old Testament, we come to Exodus, and Exodus is all about God distinguishing himself from the Egyptians. But God didn't just distinguish the Israelites by sending all the plagues. You remember all those plagues? He sends a plague, you know, and finally, after so many plagues, Pharaoh was like, had enough, right? But that's not only the way, that's not the only way that God distinguished himself and Israel, from the Egyptians. Israel was known for having the presence of God with them. That's what they were known for, having the presence of God with them. And so we move through the Old Testament, and we come to the Psalms. We look at the Psalms, and the nearness of the presence of God runs all throughout the Psalms, doesn't it? Psalm 27, one thing I've asked from the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Psalm 73, yet I'm always with you, God. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me in your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the psalmist said, it is good to be near God. Did you hear that? As for me, it is good to be near God. David treasured, enjoyed God's presence in his life. He says in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light may become night around me, even the darkness will be not dark to you, Lord. And the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you, God. Where can I go from your presence? David says. And then we move to the New Testament, and of course we know that God drew near to men and women with his presence in the incarnation. God came near to save humanity from their sin in the person of Jesus Christ. Matthew begins his gospel by writing that Jesus was the fulfillment of Israel's prophecy. And he says this, all this took place, all of the account of the birth of Christ, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Which means God with us. God with us. It keeps on moving throughout the rest of the New Testament, throughout the Bible. We see the letters of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 7 says, therefore Jesus is able to save completely those who come near to God through him, because he always lives to intercede or pray for them. And then we go to Paul's letters, and heaven is described a lot in the Apostle Paul's letters. And heaven is, a lot of people have a lot. Do you have questions about heaven? Of course you do, because you're not there, right? Yeah, everybody has a lot of questions about heaven. People have all kinds of theories about heaven. But I want to say this, heaven is not so much a place where Christians indulge themselves in the beauty of God, right? Heaven is not a place where all of God's people are saying, look at these streets of gold, right? Look at all these beautiful minerals, the sapphire and the jasper and all the beautiful colors and the light isn't this beautiful? That's not so much what heaven, all right, really is. Heaven is the place where his saints enjoy his presence. Not his stuff, not his creation, but him. Him. And so a lot of people say, boy, you know, get to heaven and it's just going to be party, or it's going to be rest, and it's going to be, and it is all, you know, it's all those things. But the biggest thing is the enjoyment of God's presence. This is what he said, 1 Thessalonians, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And then he says, therefore, encourage each other with those words. So I want to encourage you today. When you get to heaven, you're going to be with the Lord forever in his presence. In his presence. Now we see through, you know, a glass dimly. Then we will see fully, completely. Amen. Now, the biggest thing, though, we see about God's presence in the New Testament is God's presence is not only among his people like we experience in our worship gathering, right? How many sense the presence of God today in worship? God's presence was among us today, but not only is God's presence among us, but now God's presence is in his people through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, while on the earth, in his physical body, Jesus was present among the people, right, among his disciples. But when he ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to live in his people so that the ever-present presence of God would be with every believer, no matter where he or she might be. Now think about that, and you'll be like, that just like blows your mind. So you can say, and I can say, where can I go from your presence, God? Because you're in me. Your presence is not only with me, not only around me, not only among me when I gather with other believers, but your presence is now in me. It's the Holy Spirit of God who conveys the presence of God to his people. Yeah. I want to come back. I want to talk about Moses' conversation with God. Moses said, you keep telling me, right? This is Bruce's paraphrase. You keep telling me, lead these people. But you haven't let me know who you're going to send with me. Because Moses had a lot of insecurity issues, right? Yeah, you know, if you read any of Moses, he had some, like many of us, have insecurity problems. He says, you know, you said, you know, I know you by name, and, you know, and you found favor with me, Moses. If you're pleased with me, you know, God, he says, teach me your ways. You know, I want to find favor with you. And the Lord says, listen, Moses, my presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. And Moses said, that's got to happen, because if your presence is to go with us, we can't make it. We can't make it, right? And so I want to talk about this scenario in Exodus, and I want you to see right away, first of all, there's this thing called the tent of meeting, right? The tent of meeting. And you know, the scripture said in Exodus 33, anyone could go to the tent of meeting. Anyone. Anyone could go to the tent of meeting. But as you read in Exodus 33, right, you'll see something. Only Moses went. Only Joshua went out to the tent of meeting. All the others worshiped God at a distance. The others worshiped God through a proxy, which was Moses. Now, so many people, don't they? So many times people will worship God through association, right? They have their own proxies. You know, some of us, we have the proxy of our grandmother, or that spiritual giant aunt, right, in our family, who went on the mission field and just, you know, she's got calluses on her knees because she prays so much, you know. It's like, you know what I'm talking about, right? You're looking at me like deer in headlights. You know, their mom, their brother, these family members whom they considered spiritual giants, who more than likely had their own personal tent of meeting, right? They developed their own relationship, personal relationship with God. They positioned themselves near the presence and the heart of God. And for some people, their association with that family member is the best worship they can offer. That's the best they can do. It's to say, well, my grandma loves the Lord. So, what about you? But she really prays a lot for me. That's great. Right? Yeah. And so there's this association. It's personal. I mean, no, it's not personal. It's not really personal at all, right? But it is familiar, right? There's this familiarness to it, right? But it's not personal at all. But Moses experienced the presence of God regularly. Why? Because he put himself in proximity to God's presence. And he could be found often in the tent of meeting. Where's Moses? Okay. He's supposed to be leading us. He's out there outside the camp. He's in the tent of meeting. Right. And it was there that he had conversation with God face to face. We call that prayer, right? And so there's this tent of meeting. I encourage you to find one, get one, make one, develop one. Do something to put yourself in closer proximity to the presence of God. Find a chair, find a room, find a rock outside, take your Bible, and go to the tent of meeting. Go. And do it often. But there's this dilemma going on. Moses and the people he's leading, they have this big giant dilemma, don't they? Their stubbornness and their sinfulness has created one big giant problem. God told them that they could have the promised land, but he would not remain with them in a close and personal way. And they could not survive in the presence of holy God. That's what God told them. If I were to go with you right now, obliteration, evaporation, you're done, you're toast, right? You ever burn toast? It's a lot worse when God's involved. Yeah. I don't know where that came from, but sounded good. So there's a huge dilemma going on here. If they're satisfied with that arrangement of God not going with them, it would prove that they only love God's blessings and not God himself, right? If they challenge God, pleading with him for his presence and not just his blessings, it would show a genuine heart for God himself. And so they're in this dilemma here, right? And think about it. What value are God's blessings if God's not with you? What would be the benefit of living in the prosperous, productive, rich land of Canaan if God wasn't with them in that land? What's the point? You know, this is always the dilemma for you and me. Always. Do we care about our relationship with God? Do we long to enjoy his presence? Or do we only care about what he can give us? This is our dilemma as his people. So don't ever say that the Bible isn't relatable to 21st century men and women, it is, because we have the same dilemma that the people of God did a long time ago. Moses basically saying, I need your presence, God. And the Lord said, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Now, that phrase, my presence will go with you, literally means my face will go with you. You can't get any closer, right, than that, right? I mean, you can't get any closer to like, your face, right? Okay. I was going to go to Jake. God, I hope he didn't kiss me. Whew! I picked the right person. But you can't get any closer to being faced. All joking aside, you know, talk about personal. Face to face. My face will go with you. You'll see me. You can't not see me. And my presence. It's impossible for you to not see me if I promise to go with you. Oh. And it's this sense of being in the immediate presence of God. And then he goes on to say, I'll give you rest. The presence of God means rest and peace in this life. Now, let's clarify. It's a common mistake to think that success, prosperity, advancement, and a perfect set of circumstances will bring us internal peace. It won't happen. What brings us peace, what brings peace in our lives is being near and in the presence of God. It is the assurance that God is with us. That's what brings us peace. Most of us have lost loved ones. We know what that experience is like. We know what grief is. We know that no one can really eliminate that or alleviate that grief. I mean, they may say kind words and they may try to provide comfort, but the only place where we can get peace is going to His presence, getting in His presence. And if we don't desire being near God's presence, then our desires will be distorted. And we'll live in constant frustration in our lives. And we'll more than likely make choices that are destructive to us and the people around us. If we don't care about God's presence, being around His presence, being in His presence. So I like what Christian writer Martin Lloyd-Jones writes. He says, we all ask for personal blessings, but how much do we know of this desire for God Himself? That is what Moses asked for. Show me your glory. Take me yet a step nearer. And we know God did reveal more of Himself to Moses, don't we? He caused His goodness to pass by Moses, and Moses gained a better understanding of who God is, who God was. And you know, as God passed by him, God proclaimed His name, the Lord, full of compassion, full of goodness. And he saw His character. Listen, when we pray, I want to know you more, God, He will reveal Himself to you in a bigger way. All you have to do is pray it. And hang on. Because God will reveal Himself to you. Amen? Now, up to this point, God's directing all of his comments to Moses. But Moses knew that only the Lord's presence would demonstrate to the surrounding nations that Israel's deliverance was really the work of the true and merciful God, right? And he learned this firsthand in Egypt when he faced off with Pharaoh, right? And Pharaoh learned it too, real quickly. And so he knew, Moses knew, God's powerful presence was needed in the battles that they would face. So he dared to ask God, to say to God, he said, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. Now, I want to encourage you, this morning with a couple things about God's presence. God's powerful presence can turn the heart of stone into a heart of compassion. His powerful presence heals diseases. His powerful presence repairs marriages. His powerful presence restores broken hearts and gives hope to the hopeless. His powerful presence rebuilds a victimized life. His powerful presence supplies courage to the persecuted. Not only that, but his powerful presence draws near to those who are martyred in his name. And you know what? That's happening today. Hundreds today being martyred, giving up their life, professing the name of Jesus Christ. Still happening, still going on. Without God's active presence in our lives, we'll never achieve anything for the kingdom of God. Without his presence, we can't conform our lives to the image of Jesus Christ. Without God's presence, we'll never experience power over temptation or power over sin. Without his presence actively involved in every facet of our lives, we'll wander aimlessly throughout this entire life. Moses knew that it was God's presence who would protect them, provide for them, propel them forward, and enable them to display something to the world that no one had ever seen, and that is the glory of God. So Moses says, if you don't go with us, I'm not budging. We're not going anywhere. Because God's presence and his demonstrated power sets apart his people from all the other nations. We as believers are the only ones who really can claim the nearness of God's presence. No other religions can do that. We are the ones who say we have the nearness of God's presence. His presence is with us, among us, and in us. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty good news. And this should be our greatest desire as Christians, to experience his presence 24/7, to display the goodness and the compassion as well as the power of God to our present age, to our present world. That should be our greatest desire. We're going to talk about how do we stay in the presence of God 24/7 next week. So, teaser, you got to come back. So if you had to miss a Sunday, this would be the one. Think about that. I want to finish this way. I want to bring it down to a personal level. Life can often be a string of unexplainable battles. And they sometimes shake our faith. in the wisdom and the goodness of God. And it's virtually impossible to survive these battles without the presence of God. I want to ask you a question. What personal battles are you facing? What stares you in the face? Is it sorrow over the poor choices of a family member? Are you experiencing a broken heart? Is it the battle of loneliness for you? Maybe the battle of temptation. Maybe guilt from falling and failing to resist temptation. For some of you, I know it's the battle of disease, the battle of an aging body. What personal battles are you facing? Just think about that for a moment. Get it in your mind's eye. Get it up to the forefront of your heart and mind. Ask yourself, what personal battles am I facing right now? And I want to finish with the question that we started with. What do you and I need right now? You don't have to wonder, I'll tell you. We need the assurance of the presence of God. That's what we need. That's what we need. And you know what? Good news. We have it. We have it. God promises to draw near to us with his presence in the heat of the battles that we each face in our lives. So the good news is, it does not matter what you're experiencing right now. Whatever turn of events are going on in your life, you have the assurance of the presence of God. And that's golden. That is golden. And so, what do you need the most right now? It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you don't leave us out there hanging. You don't leave us out there all alone. You don't just say, go on, but I'm not going with you. Your promise to Moses is the same promise to us. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. If you're going through a pretty heated battle right now in your life, and you really need some assurance that God's presence is with you, and just invite you to stand right where you're at. Just stand. Just say, God, I just really need you to come near me. I need to know the assurance that you're with me through this thing, in this thing. That I'm not without your presence, that you're with me. You want to bring some rest to my soul in it. you've got a struggle, and you just need God to really draw near close to you in it, just stand where you're at, yeah? Just stand. God, come near me. Come near me, Lord. Draw nearer to me. I open my heart, my hands. I draw near to you. Now, Lord, draw near to me. Just leave it open just for others. You really just, you feel that urge to stand and say, God, you got to help me. You got to come. You got to draw near. Yes, Lord. Let's all stand together. God, we make it our confession today to say, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? We can't go anywhere, God. You're with us. You're in us. You're among us. You lead us. You guide us. The thing that we need the most and the thing that we have the most is the presence of God. We have your presence with us. Don't take your presence, God, from us. Don't take your Holy Spirit from us. That's our prayer today, Lord. That's our prayer, God. And so we cling to your promise that you made to Moses. We grab a hold of that. We hold on to that as tight as possible. My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. And we hold on to that, Lord. We hold on to that. For dear life, we hold on to that promise of the assurance of the nearness of God. Yes, Lord. So I just encourage you as you go, I want those words to just like ring in your ears today, this week. The words of God, the words of the Lord, the word of the Lord. My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Amen. Be blessed.